All right, let's go to Andrew Goldblatt, and it's a pleasure to have Andy Goldblatt on. He's a Bay Area guy. He's a great baseball fan, and he wrote a book, The Giants and the Dodgers, Four Cities, Two Teams and One Rivalry. Andy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Marty.
Yeah, glad to have you on. An administrative specialist in the Office of Risk Management at the University of California, Berkeley, and you live in Berkeley, California, and you and I have corresponded on the by email a number of times. Andy, this how do you like this weekend of Giants-Dodgers? It changes every year, and I'm going to preface it with this. On the show, I say, you never know what's going to happen with these two teams. It's never over till the last swing, and something crazy happens every game. What is it between these two teams and the California rivalry?
Well, I think we have to break it up into, like, four different constituencies. You have the players, you have the fans, you have the media, and the front offices. And I think very often we hear that the rivalry is not as good as it used to be because the players aren't as engaged in it as maybe they were in the 50s or the 60s. But I think it's just as strong as ever when it comes to the fans and when it comes to the media and when it comes to the front offices. I mean, when's the last time the Giants and the Dodgers had a trade between each other?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Am I talking about Ron Hunt? Are we going back that far?
It's been a long, long time.
Yeah, I'm going back, but I mean...
In terms of players switching via free agency, I can't think of a trade, though.
Well, Randy Jackson said it yesterday when he was on with us, and he talked about teams, the Giant Dodgers changing teams. In those days, you couldn't do it.
Okay.
But, you know, you have Hershiser became a Giant, Reggie Smith became a Giant, and everyone, and all was forgotten. Back in the, Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but years ago, you didn't have that kind of action where even under free agency that a Giant would become a Dodger or vice versa.
Well, it was extremely rare, and you can remember a couple of controversies back from the 40s and the 50s when Leo Durocher went from being the manager of the Dodgers to being the manager of the Giants. People were calling into their radio station back then and saying, send a reporter to the Brooklyn Bridge in 20 minutes. I'm going to jump off.
Wow.
I lived in Brooklyn, I'll tell you, and I tell this on the show. I was probably 20 years old when I realized that Leo Durocher had managed the Dodgers. I never knew it. We knew him as a Giant, and in Brooklyn, you hated him. And really, I was an adult by the time I understood that Leo Durocher actually had managed the Brooklyn Dodgers. It was incredible to me when I heard that.
Well, and then Durocher himself said that it took the Giants fans 2 or 3 years to warm up to him because they were still suspicious of him.
And then, of course, he became a coach with the Dodgers. One part of the book that I really liked, and that was the 62 playoff. And you take it through that the last game really well in a lot of detail. And maybe you could summarize just a little bit of that playoff in 62. And that was the first confrontation of Giants-Dodgers on the West Coast. And really, I think, cemented for what we have coming up today at 5:30. That was some three-game playoff.
Well, what was really eerie about it was how much it mirrored the 1951 playoff, which is the one that everybody remembers, where Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard around the world. It was a three-game playoff, just like 1951. They don't do that anymore since the league expanded. And it was once again a situation where the Giants won one game and the Dodgers won one game, and it all came down to the third game. And the third game took place on October 3rd, just as it had back in 1951. And going into the ninth inning, the Giants were behind, just as they were on October 3rd, 1951. And they miraculously rallied, and there were a number of very interesting things that went on in terms of Walter Alston positioning as second baseman, who was a very inexperienced player named Larry Bright. So he was out of position for a number of plays. The Giants wound up rallying and took a 6-4 lead into the bottom of the ninth. And Billy Pierce came in and had a pretty much routine inning. And Willie Mays caught the fly ball to clinch the pennant and screamed, "That was $15,000 a man."
I love it. It's great. It's a great part of the book. It really is, the detail of 62. The Giants and the Dodgers, four cities, two teams, one rivalry. Andy Goldblatt is the author, and you can get it at McFarland Publishing, and I'm sure on the usual outlets. on the internet. Part of that 62, before we leave it, and Alston admitting that Larry Burrite was out of position, and he didn't bring in Don Drysdale, who was ready. He could have brought him in instead of Stan Williams, and he left Ed Roebuck in too long, and those are names from the past, but Drysdale, a Hall of Famer, didn't bring him in, and actually, Alston, there was almost a revolt on the team after that, and they wanted to fire him and all that kind of stuff, so that was a crazy time. And the last part, we'll leave this with Andy. When the plane landed in San Francisco, there were so many people at the airport, the Giants were afraid the bus was going to tip over, and they had no way to get home.
Wow.
A lot of the players actually jumped out of the bus before it got into the terminal, and they hitchhiked their way home. Cepeda, Marichal, I think the Alou brothers, they just ran over to the freeway and got their way home from there. They said people that they'd never met just pulled up and offered them rides, and they jumped on in.
Wow. Andy, let me ask you real quickly before we let you split here, is that you mentioned the four-pronged attack of what makes a rivalry. Do the players, do they need to have a rivalry amongst themselves in order for a rivalry to be pure?
I think it depends on the player. I think some guys get up for no matter who the opponent is, and you've got other guys who just need to be a little bit more juiced up, and I think when it comes to the Giants and the Dodgers now, there are a couple of personalities out there who can really juice up their teammates. I think on the Dodgers side, it's got to be Yasiel Puig, and on the Giants side, it's going to be Madison Bumgarner, and the two of them did have some interesting interactions back in 2014. They had a little bit of a dust-up in May, and then September of that year, Bumgarner hit Puig with a pitch, and the two nearly came to blows. And I think that's the sort of thing that will keep the players involved in the rivalry.
And I think someone like Lasorda is much of an ambassador for baseball, and he gets everybody going. I don't know. Listen to Krug talk about it, Giants-Dodgers, and You have a premise in the book, and maybe it's a little controversial, but the rivalry more severe, more heated here, or was it more heated at the Polo Grounds in Ebbets Field in Brooklyn?
Well, again, I think when you go by the fans, it was definitely better here when the rivals moved out. The attendance for Giant and Dodger games soared in both Los Angeles and San Francisco through the 50s and the 60s, and it didn't really cool off until the 1970s when the Giants had tremendous problems. Stoneham was kind of on the way out. The team was in receivership. They were selling off their great players, and the Giants didn't really get good again for another 10 years or so. And at that point, the Dodgers started looking more toward the big red machine as their rival. And the rivalry did suffer during that period. But I think immediately after the Giants and Dodgers moved out, I do believe it was better than it had been in Brooklyn and New York, because I think the fans there were getting complacent about it.
Well, I know that, Andy, I know that probably amongst the organizations after what we saw, some tragic behavior down at Dodger Stadium, I think it's probably best not to inflame the rivalry now, because fans act crazy. They get all hopped up on booze, and I'm sure that happened back at the Polo Grounds at Ebbets. But now it just seems things get really out of control nowadays when the fans get loose. So I don't know if that has any effect on the current rivalry.
Well, I think that's a very good point, actually. I think back in the late 1930s, there actually was a death associated with the rivalry. It took place in a bar in Brooklyn.
Okay.
But that was the only known one back in that era. And just go back the last 10 or 12 years here, everybody knows about the Brian Stowe incident, which is horrible. But we've actually had a death both in Los Angeles and in San Francisco after Giant Dodger game.
Yep.
Boy, amazing. All right. Andy Goldblatt, nice to have you with us. As a parting thought, Urias pitches tonight. Reminds me of Valenzuela, as a kid coming up. This kid's 19. Other debuts maybe this isn't a rookie debut. He's pitched a few games, but maybe the first Giant-Dodger confrontation for a rookie pitcher. Any come to mind for you?
Well, one comes to mind for the Dodgers and one comes to mind for the Giants. The one for the Dodgers is a guy known mostly to history. His name is Carl Spooner. And the day after the Giants clinched the National League pennant against the Dodgers in 1954. Spooner made his major league debut, and not only did he shut the Giants out on three hits, but he set the all-time record for most strikeouts by a pitcher making his first appearance with 15. On the Giants side, you got to move ahead to 1974, and John the Count Montefusco.
Very good.
Nice.
A lot of people don't remember that he made his debut in a 1974 game after Ron Bryant failed to get a single Dodger out.
I remember it.
And Montefusco comes in and he pitches 9 innings of relief. Not only does he get the win, but he also hits a 2-run homer to help the Giants beat the Dodgers.
Great. I remember that so well. Very good. I'm glad you brought that up. And Carl Spooner, I have his baseball card. I was interested.
Wow.
And his next game, of course, he struck out 12 Pittsburgh Pirates. And he had 27 in the first two games, and then he got hurt, and we never heard from him again. He pitched a little bit after that. Boy, a pleasure having you on. Andrew Goldblatt, G-O-L-D-B-L-A-T-T. The book is The Giants and the Dodgers, 4 Cities, 2 Teams, 1 Rivalry. Check out McFarland Publishing. They have so many good books, and you can get this one here. Andy, thanks so much.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great having you on. Boy, that was fun.